Let's read just a little bit today from the book of Psalms, 35th chapter. I see some of our folks back up from Griffin. We're certainly glad to have them up here with us. Maybe they'll come up and be part of the family before long. That would be wonderful. I want to read from the 35th chapter. You know, David, the psalmist, he went through a lot of problems, a lot of heartaches, a lot of sorrows. And God more or less allowed the collection of these prayers of David as an encouragement to all of you that go through the same thing. Whereas man goes through the same thing. He doesn't go through anything different. Man, he loves to feel, you know, a lot of times that he is caught in some wretched circumstance that is so different from anybody else. But the Bible teaches that we're not taken with any temptation except that which is common unto man. Not to think it strange, the fiery trials that await you, though some strange thing has happened to you. Because whatever you go through, somebody else has already been through it. It's just a common everyday thing. Though it might seem so outstanding to you, the only reason is that you have never experienced it, whereas others have experienced it and they've become adjusted to it, and it was just as bad to them when they first encountered it. So then we've got these things for consolation, the life of Job and the life of David and many others. Reading from the first verse of the 35th chapter, plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler, and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear, and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be as chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. For without cause have they hid for me their net in a pit, which without cause they have digged for my soul. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, which deliverest the poor from him that is too strong for him? Yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. False witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into mine own bosom. I behaved myself as though he had been my friend or brother. I bowed down heavily as one that mourneth for his mother, and gathered themselves together, yea, the abjects gathered themselves together against me, and I knew it not. They did tear me and cease not with hypocritical mockers and feasts. They gnashed upon me with their teeth. Lord, how long wilt thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling from the lions. I will give thee thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Let not them that are mine enemies wrongfully rejoice over me, neither let them wink with the eye that hate me without a cause. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. Yea, they open their mouth wide against me, and say, Aha, aha, our eyes hath seen it. This thou hast seen, O Lord, keep not silent. O Lord, be not far from me, stir up thyself and awake to my judgment. Even unto my cause, my God and my Lord. Judge me, O Lord, my God, according to thy righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Let them not say in their hearts, Ha, so would we have it. Let them not say, We have swallowed him up. Let them be ashamed and brought to confusion together that rejoice in my own hurt. Let them be clothed with shame and dishonor that magnify themselves against me. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. And my tongue shall speak of thy righteousness and of thy praise all the day long. You know, there is a lot that David says here. It seems strange to hear a man pray the prayer the way that David prays it. He doesn't pray, Father, forgive my enemies. God, bless my enemies. God, help my enemies. God, be merciful to my enemies. He doesn't pray like that. The reason is because David was among the Jewish people. And they call for judgment. Even when they are in power, in regime, they don't call for mercy upon the land. They call for judgment. Whereas we, who are the sacrifice of Christ, we being the sacrifice of Christ, we call for mercy. We call for mercy. We say, Lord, forgive our enemies. Lord, help them to repent. Help them to get straightened out. Because we are the living sacrifice for God. Therefore, we call for mercy. But they being those of the judgment, they called for judgment. And as an essence of that, then they received judgment at the hand of God. And God cut them out of his presence and God put them through the fire just as he did David when he drove David from his throne and brought the judgment upon him. But he also answered David's prayer in bringing the judgment of God upon David's enemies. Whereas we call for mercy, always pleading for mercy, as a result of that, then God gives us mercy and we bypass the tribulation and go on to be with God by bypassing the wrath that would ordinarily come upon us. But there's a lot that's in the prayer of David. For as David prays here to God, he begins to say, Lord, confound my enemies. Bring them to shame. Those that would not honor me, of those that would not look in my direction with the right attitude, bring them to shame and confusion, and don't allow them to be part of your kingdom. Whereas this was not David talking, but it was the Spirit of Christ saying that all who reject me and all that desire my hurt and all that are working contrary to me, they will be cut off from my kingdom. Father, cut them off from my kingdom. The Spirit of prophetical utterance coming through David to tell what would happen to people that reject God. Now, not only in the life of David did they reject God, but speaking of Calvary, where they would reject Jesus Christ, and speaking extensively over to this time when they would reject God in my life and in your life and come against me and come against you, having done it unto us as the least of them in the kingdom, they do it unto God. And so then we see here it is the Spirit of Christ that God definitely is speaking here through the mouth of David, and he is pointing out that people should never at any time be critical concerning the things of God and the work of God. That they should never at any time find fault with the Christians or pounce upon the Christian, because in so doing they bring the judgments of God upon them, and they and their little ones must pay and must suffer for it. So then we see the beautiful way that God has of leading his people, and the glory of God that surrounds his people. Whereas in the previous chapter here, you'll find the Bible says in the book of Psalms that the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that love the Lord, and that he is put there for the purpose so as to deliver everyone that loves the Lord Jesus. The angel of God is with you this morning. The angel of God is with me this morning. If we love God, if we are walking in the ways of the Lord, then the angel of the Lord is around you, and the angel of the Lord is around me. And the angel of God is there at all times, that no matter whatever happens, the angel of God is right there to deliver us, that Satan may never have an advantage over us at any time. God is a God of deliverance. God is a God that is a healer. God is a God that is a savior. God is a God that wants to bless his people and see them prosper and be in health. I read to you here in this very chapter where David speaking, and yet not David, but the Spirit of God, said that God delights in the prosperity of His servants. It is God's delightful will that His servants prosper and be in health at all times. Now, if we come to a place to where we are not prospering, then we need to search our lives, because God is wanting us to prosper. Now, it could be that He's putting us through a trial, or He's putting us through some little something to where we have to go through the fire. It could be that somehow or another we might have given place to Satan to allow him to come in, to encamp round about us, to cause us problems. But see, it doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter what the problem is, doesn't matter what the affliction is, doesn't matter what the sickness is. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivereth him out of them all. We should never submit to any kind of sickness, any kind of affliction. Because when we submit to an affliction, we deny faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we submit to any kind of sickness or sorrow or heartaches or any kind of poverty, we are then discrediting God and God's Word, and we are laying aside the faith that God told us not to lay aside. Well, the Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. We should believe at all times, under all circumstances, irregardless to what we feel, what we think, whatever might come, we should believe in the Word of God. It's like I was telling some of the brethren last night, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. We're not just a conqueror, we are more than a conqueror. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who hath give Himself for us, that we should have all things and inherit all things. The Bible said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. God wants us to inherit all things. Not just some things, but it's the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. He wants us to inherit all things. That's the way I believe the gospel. I believe that's the way Jesus meant for it to be. That we can have all things. God doesn't want us to die. God doesn't want us to suffer. God doesn't want us to be in poverty. Death is God's enemy. Even those that are wicked. The Bible tells us that God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. There's no pleasure in God toward any person's death or any person's suffering or any person's sickness. Now, I say that for this reason. A lot of time, you know, people, they die out and they say, well, I know that I've got to die, you know, because I haven't been pleasing God. See, and the devil gets the upper hand of them, and he presses in on them, and he brings some vile, wretched sickness or condition, and they can't get their faith above the water because they feel like, well, I haven't done right. But see, it doesn't matter about that. The Bible said that God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. It wouldn't make any difference if you was a murderer. God wouldn't have any pleasure in your death. For death is the enemy of God. Amen. Now, so then we need to use our faith and rise up above everything. It doesn't matter what it is. We should never at any time, under any condition, yield our faith to Satan. Because anything other than life abundantly filled up and overflowing is the enemy of God. So then the Bible said here, David going through the fire, having been driven from the throne. Here he is out in the wilderness and everything going wrong. He lost his riches and lost all of his prestige and out in the wilderness and everybody just mistreating him, his own son mistreating him. But there he was out there pleading with God, and he said, God, look on me and let my enemies be confounded. And he said, those that desire my hurt, he said, God, he said, turn them around and let them be confused. He said, let the angel of the Lord chase them, and said, all of those that would be my enemy, be their enemy, God. And those that would rise up against me, he said, stop them, Lord. Stomp them, Lord. That is, God, you stand as a fortress. The Bible teaches that God builds a hedge round about them that love Him and them that fear Him, and that in building a hedge round about them, that they are protected from the enemy, Satan, and all of the evil powers of Satan. You know, the Bible speaks of the powers that are in the air. Now, we can't quite get a hold of this because, you know, we're natural. Now, being natural people, a lot of times we don't understand spiritual things. But according to the Bible, the whole atmosphere around us throughout Germany, Russia, America, Japan, China, everywhere, Africa, India, it's filled with evil spirits. The whole atmosphere is filled with evil, deceptive spirits. And those spirits are continually working on the human senses. And they're talking to us while we are awake. They're talking to us while we are asleep. They're talking to us even in dreams. They're talking to us when we're just laying around somewhere trying to rest our mind. They're talking to us and they're probing at us all the time, pressing us all the time. They're trying to create a depression in our minds and hearts to weaken our faith in God. But see, what God wants you to do is be so filled with the Spirit and the energetic powers of God on the inside that we just run over like a teapot. And we just keep boiling and keep churning for God all the time. Moving all the time in the spiritual realms of God. And faith just bursting out in a great and a mighty way. Pushing the mud back all the time. Pushing the afflictions back. If an affliction strikes your body, then let the Spirit on the inside boil up in such a way it'll just push through the blood streams like it did when Paul got bit by that serpent. Let that Holy Spirit move through your heart, move through your bloodstream and kill the disease and purify all of your blood. Purify your heart by faith. Let the Spirit of God go through there and the virtues of Christ go through there and kill that poison like it did when it struck the bloodstream of Paul. You know, the viper latched onto Paul's arm. Those people, I don't know why people are like this, but they're like that. You know, they surmise, they sum up things in their mind. But here Paul was, he just got off of a ship, you know, and come in there and needed a little consolation and needed a little help and a little strength. And here they received him. But just as quick as that viper reached up and latched onto Paul, they said, aha, aha, that's what David said, see? You're one of them vile, wretched fellows that's escaped the anger of the sea, but God is still going to get you. And so the viper latched on. But old brother Paul, he just looked at it and held it over the fire and shook it off in the fire and just kept on preaching the gospel. And then the folks said, whoa, wait a minute now. This thing ain't working like we thought it was. It's going in reverse. While we thought he was going to die, and here he is living. He just shook it off in the fire, kept on about his business, and kept on doing what God told him to do. And the Bible said, then they changed their mind. They said, oh my, he's a god. The gods, you know, they've come down to us. You remember on one occasion, they looked up and they said, the gods has come down to us. And they tore the clothes like that. And they fell down before Paul and said, my, said, the gods have come down to us. Well, he wasn't so far wrong there. Because Jesus said, you are gods, isn't that right? Hallelujah! Paul wanted to give the glory to God, and so he told him, said, I'm a man just like you're a man. But he knew where he was going. All right, so it's so wonderful, see, to understand. David prayed, Lord, take care of me. Reveal to me the glories of God and the understanding of God. And Father, don't take up for them, but take up for me. I'm your servant. I'm working for you. I'm trying to do something for you. Now see, if you're not working for God, and if you're not doing anything for God, how are you going to have confidence that God's going to do anything for you? The Bible said, draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. Isn't that right? So then to have God on my side, I got to get on God's side. How do you love Jesus? All right, let's get on God's side. If we love the Lord, let's get on God's side. If you love Him, the Bible says you keep His commandments. God wants to do something for us. God will do something for us, whether we're at Little Bethlehem or wherever we're at. If we're in the Carolinas, if we're in Texas or wherever we're at, God will bless us and do something for us. Which reminds me, today I believe a brother was supposed to come down and his wife go back with him. Maybe she's already gone, I don't know. And somebody got misput on some things I said. I was talking to God and the Lord told me what to do and I advised her as what to do. And it was in the favor of the individual. And somebody got the idea that he was supposed to go where he was going and prosper. I didn't say that. He's going where he's going and go through the fire. Then if he'll not say anything against God and against this, God will bless him. If he does rise up against this, God will tear him up. Now, so that's what I was saying because I talked to God about it just to find out. You know, as I've said so many times, it's a whole lot better to go to God and talk to God and find out what God has to say about it. Now, I can guess at it. It might work, it might not work. I might hit it, I might not hit it. But if I go to God and God tells me, and if I get a thorough understanding in God, then I won't have to guess at it. I'll know exactly what the Lord wants done. All right, so then David said, Lord, I'm your servant. I'm on your side. I'm working with you. I'm trying to uphold your kingdom. I'm concerned about your people, Israel. Father, I've got to have your help. I've got to have your blessings. I've got to have you with me. And he said, now, Father, stand with me and help me. God, when I'm sick, deliver me. When I'm in need, deliver me, God. This is the way that you've got to feel. This is the way that you've got to pray. You can't have an old huffed up, puffed up spirit. You can't have an old cloudy mind of doubt and envy and strife, malice and surmising, evil surmising, as the Bible calls it. You can't have that. David didn't have that in his heart. David had the purity of God in his heart. Somebody say, I love Jesus. The feller sitting over to my left right now, he can't get in gear, right? He's been in old car of mine so long, he feel that thing, he just can't get in there. But remember, God knows your thoughts. That ought to help you to know that God's real, and you better get straightened out. Father Nett, there's a good atmosphere this morning. He's the only one I feel around anywhere today. You know, the Bible said that if you spare any of them, they will be pricks in your side. A carnal-minded person is a prick in your side. Did you know that? The powers of Satan is there. Now, like this fellow, what's wrong with him is jealousy. He's envious. Well, the Bible tells him not to do that. See, he thinks he ought to be up here and ought to be sitting out there. But consequently, isn't that way, is it? See, if God intended for it to be the other way, then it'd be the other way, wouldn't it? So it might do you to just clear up the mud and get the fog out of your mind, and maybe God will put you up here. All right, so jealousy is the same thing that the devil used with Cain to kill Abel. Isn't that right? It's the same old Cain spirit. It'll kill your brother. If you don't watch out, you'll be a murderer. Before you realize it, in your thoughts, you'll kill that brother. You know, somebody do a little something to you that you don't like, you might not never say nothing to them, but that mind begins to go like a computer. And after a while, you're thinking about how God could just take that person's life. Just like James and John, you know, it's called fire down on them to kill them and get them out of the way. Yay, God's going to do away with you. Somebody say, I love the Lord. What is it? It's that old mind of revenge of yours. That's what it is. God isn't wanting to kill anybody. He hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And when you get all stirred up at somebody and you want to kill them, God isn't with you in that thing. What you need to do is get stirred up and do like David. David said when they were sick, he said, I made sackcloth and prayer. I took that and I made that my vesture and I made that my effort. I got down in prayer and in sackcloth and I prayed for them. Just because somebody says something we don't like, you know, we say, call down the fire. Now, I believe that you ought to warn a person, but then you want to call down the fire. But brethren, sisters, let me tell you something. God won't receive that kind of prayer. But I'll tell you what, if you'll pray for your enemies and do good to them that despiteful use you, God will burn your enemies' fields with fire. You just call upon God and say, God, help that old hypocrite over yonder to get straightened out. God, help that person who's mistreated me over there to get straightened out. Father, do something good for him. Help me to do something good for him. Like Jack Coe, you know, they say that Jack, a great preacher, Jack used to, when somebody would do something wrong, he'd go in the house and he'd get something. And his wife would say, Jack, where are you going? And what you got? And say, well, you got one of my lambs. Say, what you going to do with it? So I'm going to give it to that brother across the way, or that sister across the way. And said it was time when she said, Jack, said, that ain't even a cousin. That hypocrite ain't even a cousin, and you giving him my lamp. And Jack says, he's heaping coals upon the head, you know. Now, that ain't the way to do it. You're not supposed to have that attitude, but at least he was going in the right direction. See, do good to your enemies. All of them that despitefully use you. Do good to them. Don't get upset. Want to see them die? They may be your best friend down the way. Did you know that? One that maybe it is not straight with you right now. Down the way may be the straightest fellow you ever met. Might get converted, and the one that's right close to you might be your worst enemy. You can't ever tell about that. But the thing is just to go on, and God will defeat your enemies. You know, the Lord has a wonderful way of doing things, and you know, in the animal kingdom or in man's kingdom. He does strange things, but he does things in a wonderful way. I've heard stories about different animals and different things that took place. And even in the story, you could tell that God was even in the life of the animal kingdom. How that God watches over the animals. Where the Bible says the lion, he comes out and he roars. He doesn't have anything to eat. He'll come out of the den and he'll roar. And he'll get to roaring and God will see his hunger and then God will turn something around for him to have for dinner. For him to feed his little ones with. The Bible said, though at times the lion will suffer hunger, but you'll not suffer hunger. They that walk upright before God shall like no good thing. Though the young lion might suffer hunger, yet God will not suffer you to go hungry, because God wants to supply your every need. If God has given us all things that pertain unto life, why is it that we do not utilize our ability to enjoy all things that pertain unto life? Why is it that we are so grumpy and so always complaining and saying, oh, God didn't meet my needs here and God didn't meet my needs there and I'm going to lose my car, I'm going to lose my house, I'm going to lose everything I got. Why do we get in that kind of condition? Why is it we take the attitude, oh God, I got this, I got cancer, I got TB, I got heart trouble, I'm going to die, I can't stay alive. Why do we get like that? I might say, well, it's because I'm dying. Well, quit doing it. Praise God. Stop it. Get straightened out with God regardless of what you're doing, how you feel. Get right with God. Set your goal in life. And go to that goal. Stay with that goal. Get your goal in life and say, now, God, this is what I must do for Christ. Find out what God wants you to do. And stay with that and do it. And then when you finish your course, that's all right. But to start with, you need to set you a course in life so that you can really get up and go for God. You know, you take an elephant, for instance. An elephant is an unusual animal. Isn't that right? An elephant, they'll go for years and years and just roam through the jungle and whatever. And then time for their death, they know when it comes about. See, like Jacob of old, time for his death, he got ready to die, say, bring all of them in. I want to talk with them. Set up in bed, blessed every one of them, said goodbye, went home. Now, that's the way it's supposed to be done. The elephant, he'll roam around for years, and then time for him to cross over. Then he'll throw up his trunk, you know, and he'll start saying goodbye. He'll walk for miles and miles through the jungle just to scream and a holler, you know, goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. And then it might be 100 miles away to the elephant graveyard, but he'll keep on going, keep on going. He won't die till he gets there. You understand what I'm saying? Set your goal and don't die till you get there. Do what God tells you to do. Get up and be about the Father's business. He'll sound that trumpet. He'll keep on going. Then when he gets over there where he's supposed to be, then he'll lay down and go to sleep. And that's the end of it. God is so wonderful. You know, a lot of people feel like that animals don't have any knowledge and don't have any feelings, but they do. They do just like you do. You know, I heard of an elephant where a lion got his little one, took it off, and he trailed it for miles and miles and finally got in between some rocks to where the elephant couldn't get to it. And the elephant was in such a rage as the lion sat there and was killing its baby that it just take its trunk and root up a tree and beat down on them rocks and finally beat and beat. Even though the lion killed the little one, yet finally the big elephant got a trunk big enough to where it could sling it in there on him and kill the lion for vengeance. See, they got knowledge and feeling just like you and I have. What will God do to them that bothers his little ones? If an elephant will follow a lion for miles and miles and miles to get to kill that lion because that lion has bothered its little one, what will God do to them that bothers the little ones in Christ? The Bible said it's better that a millstone be tied about your neck and drowned in the depths of the sea than just to offend one of these little ones that trust in me. See, what will God do? If we then have that kind of God and that kind of protection, and God has that kind of love for us, why should we be afraid? Who will make us afraid, David said? Why should I be afraid? And the Bible said, and there they were in great fear where there was no fear. There the people was troubled in great fear, great trouble, when there wasn't anything to fear. What am I to fear? Why should I be afraid? Who can harm me? If my ways please God, he maketh even mine enemies to be at peace with me. And who is my enemy? The devil. All that work for him. So then there they were in great fear, but there wasn't any fear for them to fear. Jesus said, fear not. Why do you fear? If God has, through Christ Jesus, done away with everything that can harm you and I, why should we then fear? For there is no fear. There is nothing to fear. We are sitting in a place to where there is no fear. God took it all away at Calvary. You know, the biggest thing that I suppose that man fears is death. Whereas the Bible said all of our lives we're under bondage to fear of death until we come to be a child of God, and then we don't have any more fear of death. The reason we don't have any more fear of death is because we can't die. See, if we could still die, then we'd still have fear of death. But if you can't die, why should you fear something that can't bother you? You said this a many times, that from that law comes transgression, and if there is no law, there's no transgression. But if that law be folded up and taken away, then the transgression is gone. If the transgression is gone away from us, then there is no sin, because transgression of the law is sin. And if there's no sin, then there is no death, because the sting of death is sin. And if there's no law, there's no transgression, there's no sin, there's no sting, there's no death. So there should be no fear. Why then should we fear? Now, we don't have any problems. Children of God don't have any problems. I know we worry about eating, you know. We think, well, we've got to climb a ladder, or dip a brush, or we've got to dig a hole, or nail. We've got to do something to get something for our tummies, you know. But they're not that bad off. You could go a number of days, and it wouldn't hurt them. It'd probably do them good. So see, it's not that bad. You don't really have any problems. And you say, well, I got to pay my bills. And I think a man ought to pay his debts and be honest. But you don't have to worry about that. If they put you in a hole, it'll take care of itself. So you don't have any problems there. Then what kind of problem do we have? Just one problem. And that's no problem anymore. What is that? Dying. Dying is the only problem that we have. See, and if you're born again, you don't have that problem. If you're born again, that one is behind you, so you don't have any problems at all. You're going to live forever and ever and ever. And it, certainly, if you're going to live, you're bound to be eating somewhere. Wouldn't you agree to that? See, it got to be some kind of food, that it might not be this kind of steak and chicken we eat down here. But there's got to be something that I'm going to enjoy, because I'm planning to eat from now on. Live forever, eternally. Never die. All right, so then we don't have anything to fear, because God is with us. God is our shepherd. God is watching over us. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Leadeth me beside the still waters. Prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord, not just for a week and a month and a year, but forever and ever and ever. I've already made plans for that. I've already made preparations for that. That's why Jesus tried so hard to explain to the apostles. He said, Lazarus is asleep, and I'm going to go down there and wake him up. And he said, but Lord, if Lazarus is asleep, what do you want to wake him up for? That's not like you to go disturb a man when he's asleep. Jesus said, you just don't understand. He's dead. See, Jesus couldn't get it over to them that there was no such thing as death, that he was the resurrection. And that Lazarus was asleep. But see, they didn't understand. So he said, the way you say it, Lazarus is dead. And not only that, but they said, but now he stinketh. But regardless to the smell, regardless to how long that he'd been there, Jesus said he was asleep. Now see, that proves that your physical being doesn't have anything to do with it. Isn't that right? If his body was already stinking, how could his body have anything to do with it? God wasn't interested in that little box of ashes, as we would say. Like Bruce, the builder, that died of a heart attack a day or two ago, and they put him in a, whatever it is, and they burn him up, you know, and turn him into ashes. A few little ashes. That wasn't Bruce. You can be sure that Bruce is still somewhere. Bruce is somewhere answering to God for what he'd done with his time and with his substance while he was here in this world. For the Bible said that you shall give an account to God for every word that you speak, every thought that you think, and every deed that you do, whether in secret or out of secret. You're going to give an account to God. Bruce lived in a little tabernacle. They might have burned that little tabernacle up, and they might have turned it into a box of ashes and deposited it somewhere. But Bruce is still at large somewhere. Somewhere. And he'll answer to a great God that'll meet him. I can't meet him as a natural man because he isn't around. But God, who is a spirit, that the Bible said he inhabits eternity, he will meet him out there in eternity somewhere. He'll meet Gabriel. He'll meet Michael. He'll meet those that's in the other dimension out there. He'll meet them. See, your dad, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, your children, whatever's departed this life, they're out that, they're in that other dimension. And somewhere they're at large, and they'll be met by God out there somewhere. For at death, the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. You understand what I'm saying? There is life in your body today. You can do whatever you want to. But tomorrow there might not be any life in your body. You can't do anything. But see, today you're healthy and you're strong. I was just thinking, you know, the other day, how strong and healthy I feel. I feel strong and healthy. I used to walk down the road, you know, and I think, my, I could wrestle a bear. I believe I could whip him. Well, I might not could have, but I felt like I could. See, because God is with me, God blesses me, God strengthens me, God lifts me up, God keeps me strong and healthy. Regardless to my feelings or my thoughts or whatever come, I didn't have anything to do with it. God is with me. That's what God wants to do to you. Well, I say, well, what's the difference? Why have a lot of strength? The Bible said some to live longer by reason of strength. Now, I say, well, I don't believe it's got nothing to do with it. Well, it hasn't. Only the Bible says it. If we are strong in God, we're going to live longer. I'm planning to live without end. I don't know how long you plan to live. But see, I've already made preparation. I ain't planning to give it up at all. Just live on and on and on and on and on. And I said, well, we'll look down on your dead face one day and we'll see. Now, you don't worry about it. You won't ever look down on my dead face. You might look down on Brother Pike, but you won't ever look down on my dead face because I ain't planning to be dead. Where I'm going, people don't die. They live on and on. There ain't no death to them that are in Christ. I'm going to say this and we'll close out here in just a few minutes. The Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. What is the second death? The lake of fire. Not until after the millennium, it's after 1,000 years, not until after then will death actually be conquered. For the last enemy to be conquered is death. And after the millennium, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. The lake of fire being the second death will swallow up the first death. That'll come to pass. And then death shall be no more. But brothers and sisters, long before that 1,000 years ever come in or will ever go out, I met the resurrection. When Jesus got over to the tomb of Lazarus, they were weeping and they said, Lord, my brother is dead. Jesus said, I said unto you that if thou shouldest believe, you could see the glory of God. Said, your brother will live again. Oh, they said, we know that he will, Lord. In the resurrection, we've got confidence of that. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. My, what an insult to the Son of God. If the Son of God was standing right here in your midst this morning, and somebody dropped dead this morning, would you look and say, Lord, I know he'd live again in the resurrection? Certainly not. Hallelujah. I'd say, Jesus, there he is. Wouldn't you? You say, Jesus, do something. You know what he'd do? He'd say, Brother Pike, there he is. You do something. Amen. I told you to raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the leper. Isn't that right? That's what God is expecting out of you and me, regardless to how we do or whatever the situation is. Now, if I don't have any power over my body, then how can I have any power over your body? If I don't have any understanding that will guide me, how can I convey to you understanding that's going to guide you? If I can't defeat Satan, how can I tell you how to defeat him? But we can, and we have, and we will, because he said so. Somebody said, well, how do you know that? Because he said so. How do you know that you're healed? Because he said so. How do you know you're going to live forever? Because he said so. That's good enough. He said, Lord, just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. That's good enough. If you don't have that kind of thinking, that kind of feeling, you need to cultivate it and work with it until you do have that kind of feeling. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Brothers and sisters, we are one with him. Did you know that? As he is, so are we the resurrection and the life. No man taketh my life, Jesus said. I lay my life down. When I finished my course, Paul said, I lay my life down. Until then, the old elephant just throws up the trunk and keeps hollering. Hollering. Because it's got a job to do. Jacob done the job. At the end of the trail, that was it. Paul said he had finished his course. That was it. You don't have to lay down or give up the ghost till you finish your course. You have power to keep from doing that. But here's the thing. If you yield up your faith, you'll die a premature death. You'll never live your days out. You've got to settle it in your mind and in your heart that you're not going to do that. No matter what the doctors say, no matter what the people say, no matter what the conditions are, the physical depletion, no matter what it is, that don't have anything to do with it. He said it. That's the way it has to be. You live in the Word, not in your own carnal mind. To be carnally minded is death. In the carnal mind is all kind of fears and perplexes and bewilderments and things said and things done and troubles and anxieties and everything else that'll tear you down. But just anchor in the Word of God by faith. Say, it's this way. The Bible says it's that way. I don't believe nothing else. I'm not going to be anything else but what he said for me to be. I'm not going to do anything else but what he said for me to do. And whatever his thoughts are, that's the only thoughts that I'll think. And what is his thoughts? That I am to prosper, be healthy, happy, finish my course and do my work, and to live eternally. And that's what I'm going to do. All right, you can stand with me. We appreciate your kind attention this morning. One fellow will be successful in business. Another man will go down. Now, why is that? Because one man will believe no matter what the circumstance is. One man will live on. Another man will go down. Why is that? Because one man believes regardless to what the physical conditions are. I think of Brother James Tarns. James is 60 or better, I guess. He still acts like he's about 19 years old. And he's been living a long time. And he was out there the other day and his toes got cold. He put his feet together. He began to bounce up and down like a jumping jack, you know. And try to get his toes warm. But he is just as pleasant as a person 17 or 18 years old. He's healthy and strong. He's got a vision. He keeps a broad vision. Gets just as excited, you know, over everything, just like he's going to live another 100. Be right there with it all. That's what it's supposed to be. God's good, isn't it? The Bible said, he that be of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Not only is it a continual feast, but it'll do you good. The joy and jubilance of Christian living will run all through them veins and all through the body, you know, and make you strong and healthy and eradicate disease, and just it'll just do something for you. All right. Let's sing a little chorus together. Have you ever done anything for God lately? Now's a good time. Appreciate what Bob and him's doing. Bob and Ted got together. Brother Bobby and Bob's working with Ted on the job. He's a good carpenter. And they've gotten together and they've bought some doors and trim, and they've got upstairs down here in the building, and they've just about got the top of the building trimmed out. Well on their way. Just a little bit more, and they'll have it all trimmed out. Brother Ron down there working with them on the taping, and he's doing a good job on it. Surprisingly good to me. And I see Brother Richard, Brother Philip, down on the second level working the post office doing something for God. Brother Stevie down in the bottom with his printing. He got the presses rolling. And then, of course, yesterday was a lot of activity. Had the store going. It was a number of people down there at the store. As a matter of fact, it was a slew of people down there at the store. And I think most of them are pretty well contented over the fact that we've got the store going, too. How do you appreciate the store? Let me see your hand. I believe they're pretty well contented over the fact that we've got the store. And I feel like God will bless it. Big trees from Little Acorns grow. Amen. And first, as you know, you'll have a great big store to where you can have everything that you want. Won't have to worry about it. Nothing wrong with you going to town. You know, if you want to go up there and get something, start with Brother Pike. If you can't find it down here, but I feel like the better thing to do is if you could find it down here at the store, come down there and trade with us. See, we don't make any profit. We don't get any money out of it. Not one penny do we get, because that's not what it's for. But it's for your convenience and to get you to work together to come out from among the worldly people and get more and more to where you can be independent. I don't mean you come out from among them to where you don't testify to them and you don't tell them about Jesus. I don't mean that. For it's the sick that need a physician. You need to go out there and do that. But I mean come out from among them to where you're not compelled to be among them. You can have your own convenience here. I don't know just how it's going to be. I know things is bad. Brother Terrell was saying that, I believe, according to what somebody told me, that land was going up. Maybe one that sold for $1,000, $5,000. I don't know what all is. It's a number of things that just going to shoot way up out of sight. Well, that's not hard to believe, because even though Jimmy declares he's going to bring inflation down, it surely looks to me like that they're going to have problems with it. But everything is going up, 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 including the saints of God. And the only raise or rise I'm making preparation for is that one with the saints. I'll leave the rest of it to the world. But I know that some of them this week, they told me that they really enjoyed the storm. And they said, Brother Pike, we saved quite a bit of money. So that sounds pretty good. Now, maybe some of you didn't save any money. I don't know. I'm sorry if you didn't. And some of them are going to be critics. It wouldn't make no difference if you saved them half of their groceries. They'd tell you some built-up tall tale about it, how it wasn't going to work, and they didn't get no good out of it, because they want to go up there where the music and the jingles and the jangles are, you know, because they're related to that side of life. And I don't blame them. If I was related to it, I'd want to be with it. And if you want to go up there, that's fine. But some of us would like to see a little store.
9 till 12 in the morning.
Yeah, 9 till 12 through the week.
And 9 till 5
on Saturday. That's, you don't have to come in alphabetical order next week. They're going to have it where you can come right on down. So if you can buy something down there to strengthen the brethren, it's just our little brotherhood way of trying to economize to help one another, since you're making a sacrifice for God and giving to the Lord. Some of you don't have to bother to come down there, because you're not going to help carry the gospel anyway. You got plenty to spend out yonder, so you're going to spend it out there anyway. But some of you giving to God, and if you can get a dollar off, it makes a difference to you. Because you're not planning any future in the world. Some of you are planning a future with God. And I've got some first-hand news for those that are not planning a future with God. You're going to have one with Him anyway, whether good or bad. All them that are making preparation, that's good, because you're going to go over there to enjoy it. And you that are not making preparations, you're going to go over there, period. I praise God for those that want to be partakers with us down there, that wants to come and be with us. We appreciate you so very much. Let me say this. I appreciate our visitors. I appreciate you. I see a gentleman back there with us on the right. Appreciate having him here with us. And there's a number of others. Our sister down from Cleveland. Appreciate him being here with us. Always appreciate him coming. Everyone that comes here to be with us at Little Bethlehem, we love you and appreciate you. And to those that do not come to Little Bethlehem, we love them and appreciate them. If they're naming the name of Jesus and doing the will of God, we're glad. The Bible said, let everyone that named the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Think this over today as you leave the sanctuary. You're going to do something with your life. Now, I know that you might say, well, Brother Pike, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to plan my life out and I'm going to do what I think's best for my life. But now while you're doing that, you remember this, that while you're doing all your planning, the Lord has already set something in motion concerning your life. Now you say, what is that? A day by day living until you die. Every day that you're planning, you're one day older than you was, and your life is one day less than it was, and 3 months, 6 months, a year, 4 years, whatever, when you get through with your planning, your 4 years, your life is 4 years past as to what it was to start with. So see, no matter what your plans are, his plan is that you're going to die if you don't turn to him for life. So day by day you're dying while you're making all your plans. Now you might look pretty good in the mirror now, but it'll change after a while. And whether you die today and I die tomorrow, or I die next year and you die this year, or vice versa, whatever, you're going to die. That's for sure. Every one of you going to die, big, little, old, young, whatever. It might be one a little longer than the other. But when the day of death comes, it's going to be just as bad as if it was today. Day after tomorrow ain't going to make any difference. Okay, Sister Harper's son and husband's here. Well, we're certainly glad to have them here with us. I'm glad that you tell me, because I don't know unless you do tell me. But I appreciate having Sister Harper's husband and the son here. That's a real treat, I think. I appreciate it so very much. As a matter of fact, I believe he's been with us one time before. Isn't that right? Never has. Ma'am? Well, good. You're still praying. Praise God. I appreciate them folks. I appreciate people who pray and believe. You know, it don't do any good to pray unless you believe. Isn't that right? The Bible said when you pray, believe. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Do you believe that? When you pray, believe that he'll do it for you. All right. So then he said, I will fulfill the number of your years. If you'll obey, if you'll follow me, if you'll do what I say, and you'll see long life and good days, because God will do it for you.